Good morning. So we've come to the end of our thoughts on the wonder of Easter and all that took place. And we're thinking now the time of after the resurrection, about Jesus' appearance and disappearance. And there are two things that I'd like us to think especially out of this passage, which I think are important. The first one I've called proof, the real Jesus, and peace, the real peace. Now, if you haven't got the faith to believe as yet in our God or his word, or to understand the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, I could never really prove to you from the Bible that these things are true, because you have to have an inclination towards wanting to know and believe. But it's still necessary sometimes as Christians to look at passages and affirm our beliefs and confirm our doubts and see what God has to say and to tell us. And so when I talk about proof, I'm talking about the things here that indicate how Jesus proved himself beyond measure. So first of all, in verse 19, we have his first visit when he entered into this room with the disciples gathered there, as it says, through locked doors. And then a week later, he had a second visit and appeared again with his disciples through locked doors. And it was because of the fear of the Jews that the disciples locked themselves in. The wonderful thing to think about it, and it only just dawned on me when I was reading this in study, that here we are seeing Jesus the other side of death. He's been through death and the grave. He's been raised from the dead. He has a body which is not dissimilar to what he had before, as far as we can make out. Yet there must have been some differences that he wasn't always recognized. And so there are other things that happened that proved who he was. He could pass through material substances, and yet they could touch him. He could be on the seashore, and he needed to eat. He had passed through the tomb, from the grave clothes, without any movement. He had walked with the two on the road to Emmaus, but they did not recognize him straight away. It was more what he did and what they could see that gave them faith and trust in who he was. They saw the marks of the crucifixion in his body. But just as Mary saw him in the garden, she didn't fully comprehend who it was until he spoke her name. Thomas wanted to touch him. He couldn't believe that this was possible. But Jesus, in his gracious way, appeared to Thomas, that Thomas could feel the marks in his hands and in his feet and see that he was there. The amazing thing was that at that same time, in that upper room, Jesus commissioned those disciples. He wanted to send them out as witnesses to be able to tell the world all that they had seen and experienced and prove to those outside that he had risen, that he is alive. He was their savior and their Lord, and he had shown himself to them. And so he blessed them. And even prior to Pentecost, which we read of in the book of Acts, he breathed upon them and they received the Holy Spirit before all the others. And they went out prepared to speak for Christ. That's quite amazing, I think. And I'd never taken that on board before. Surprising how many times you can read scripture before it sinks in. But that is what the Lord did. And he uttered these words, because you have seen, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And that probably covers most of us in here this morning. We have not seen the real Jesus. We have not touched him. We have not heard his voice. But praise God, we believed in him. Because of the Holy Spirit's power and conviction upon our hearts. And then after that, as we move into Acts chapter 1, we read of his ascension. Not something that's talked about within the church that much, like the other issues and marvels and miracles. But Jesus was telling his disciples that he was going to leave them. And just as he was going to ascend into heaven, so he would come back one day for his own. And so there was the Christ. And he rose into the heavens. You could say the first man in space. Here was Jesus ascending to God in bodily form. And we have this strange mixture of the physical and the spiritual. The material and the spiritual. And it's hard to understand. We cannot grasp how he could enter into that room, how these things could happen, how he could disappear and appear. But that's where the faith comes in, to believe that what he says is true. And it's only when we believe, then God proves to us that it works. And it is true. It's his word. You might have a problem about accepting the understanding of Jesus and all that he did. To believe in the conception as God allowed or created that seed in the womb of Mary in a miraculous way. And to understand the miracles that Jesus did. And to understand his raising from the dead. But it's all part of the faith that we have in Jesus, the Son of God. And this problem is something that you can tackle. You can talk about to others. You can read God's word and God will speak to you and help to convince you that that is the truth of the Christian faith. So, we have some ideas of how Jesus showed himself and what it meant for those people at the time. And we can read various books, historical books, of references to the history of that period where people had no axe to grind about what they believed. But still, there are records of these happenings and of this person, the Jesus Christ. And even those who are not interested still recorded that these things happened. So how much more should we trust in the word of God? So let's move on to peace. Let's think about peace. The peace that we can harbor in our own souls. Now, what do we call peace? So when it comes, that's a place that you wouldn't find peace. In a stadium, football or sports or whatever. Television screen. You would not find peace looking at that for very long. There's very little that we can watch or know in the media which brings peace. most of it is upsetting and hard to take in. So no peace there. That, if you can see it, is a monastery out in the desert. Ah, that's the place to go. To go into a monastery and to go into a cell and sit there on your own and think about God. Have you ever tried that? How hard it is. Because we have our minds with us. We can't escape our minds. So we can hide away. I'm not saying that's wrong. But we can hide away and think all be well and I will know peace. But we don't. Because our mind is confused and packed with all sorts of things. And we have to fight against what is in our minds. We can't escape ourselves. So what is this peace that the Bible is talking about, that Jesus was offering his disciples? Well, peace is not a cessation of noise. We can sit down by a riverside. We can listen to music. We can see the beauty of the world. And we can find a place that we call peaceful. But that doesn't help with all the problems that we have in our lives, or the things that we have to tackle. What is going on in our thinking and in all that we have to do? There must be something else that is more real that can conquer that peace. And peace, I believe, is a positive thing that Jesus can give. Just as he gives life, just as he gives all the blessings that he can bestow upon us, so he can give you peace. And peace can overcome the other things that are in our lives, in our hearts and in our minds. And as Barry said at the beginning, we talk about these things, we share them, but they're not easy. We know that. We know we have to battle. We have to trust and have faith in God to be able to believe that he can give us this peace. And these disciples in the room here needed to know that peace. And what did it do for them? First of all, could relieve our fears. That's what it did for the disciples. Outside there were people baying for their blood. The Jews were after them. They wanted to get rid of them, to stop all this nonsense. And they were afraid. And they saw the risen Jesus. And they needed help and fear to be taken away from their minds and to believe in all that he could do for them. Also, he can establish his identity. They saw him, they touched him, they heard his words, and they realized, even more than just seeing him, that it was the Christ. It was their Savior and their Lord. And that prepared them for listening to his voice and the words that he wanted to say. And as we realize the power and the love of Christ, then we'll concentrate upon him. And as he gives us that peace, it prepares us to make space for listening to what he has to say to us. He can remove all doubts and confusion. Now I say this sounds somewhat simplistic in reading it like this, but this is true, and I'm sure that many of us have proved in our lives that these facts are true. He can remove all doubts and confusion by giving us that faith to believe in him. And that's the wonder of this commodity, this peace that he gives. In a human sense, I used to find in business that if I had a worry about something, mainly something that was out of my control, then the more other things that you're occupied in, outside of work, can take the place to cover up that problem, if you see what I mean. So you might have sort of three different interests. And if you have something in the other interest to do, that sort of smothers the first problem. And you sort of work in a circle until eventually you find that the first problem wasn't as bad as you made out it to be. And that's how sometimes we deal with our own human problems. But the peace of God can come in and give us peace even when we have the problem. He knows the problem. He knows how to handle it. And he knows what the answer will be. And he gives us the grace to accept it. So he can help us in these things. He can help us to rest in his promises. Contentment. What a great thing it is to have contentment. How many people in this world are contented? Who are really happy? We talk about happiness. The government tries to make ways of making people happy. The government does all sorts to regulate the minds to make things better. But only God can do that. Only God can give peace and happiness and contentment. And if we're not happy with ourselves, we're never going to be happy with the people around us. So we need to be happy with God, to be at peace with God, in order that we might be at peace with ourselves and be able to be as natural as God is able to make us. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, we have peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Philippians, we read, Paul said, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds. Just as Joan and Nick were talking about the guarding of our minds with regard to prayer and the attack that can be made upon us when we're going to do something in the service of God. And it's the peace of God that guards our hearts and our minds. It's like putting on the spiritual armor that we read of in Ephesians. God can protect us in what we do. But it doesn't stop these things being there and happening. We have to exercise that faith and trust in Jesus in order to experience it for ourselves. Yes, it's sometimes difficult to reach this point when we have those worries that are burdening our hearts. It's a human thing to worry. It's a difficult thing to get away from. But the peace of God can be with us through those worries, through those concerns. And he can give us that sense of overcoming, which is a wonderful thing as a Christian. We have the power available to do this by allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and in our lives. And if you find there are times, I'm sure you can tell me this as me, much as me tell you, if you find times when your mind is muddled, what better than to read a passage from God's word? That can take away and obliterate the other things that are concerning and worrying you, and you can think upon what God says in his word and feel refreshed. The peace of God passes all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We need to pray for one another and for our young children that our hearts might be guarded and that they may know how it is to know the peace of God. So the peace is a powerful thing. Peace is something that God will give us to help us through our lives. May you know that real peace. May you be able to have that faith just to believe in him, hold on to Jesus, and to know that he has you in his heart and he wants to bring you through. Amen.